It's a beautiful
outfit. It came out of the box. I said, I have to have that. That's me. You were saying, oh, describing what pieces of wood. Well, that's cool.
That's right. So the ugliest piece of wood, God can do anything with, right? And He uses us as vessels to do that, right? So isn't that cool, huh? That's great. Such a beautiful message just through that alone, right? So today I'm going to be talking about, I just been noticing, you know how heavy it was in here when we were talking about Memorial Day? Yeah. You know that heaviness that you feel? Like, to me back there, I was heavy. My heart was heavy because this, you know, thinking of all the people that passed away for our freedoms. It was heavy. And that was probably the heaviest I felt in a long time. But what I'm seeing week after week, day after day, is people coming in with heavy hearts. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of sadness in the world. There's a lot of changes happening fast. And there's some pretty heaviness that's there. And so God was speaking to me, and He said, there's got to be more joy. Right? We got to have more joy. And not only more joy, but I was talking to Haley this morning, and she said, what's your message on? And she's taken off, we're out of town, but she says, what's your message on? And I said, joy. And she said, I said, how do we have joy? And she said, you better be careful, because people can give you some pretty wild answers to what brings them joy. Right? And it made me think for a second there, and I'm like, that's not the joy I'm talking about. I'm talking about long-lasting joy. Long-lasting joy. So this is long-lasting joy that comes from the Lord. That's what this message is going to be about. Okay? So, we were talking about Memorial Day and just the taps, right? We were talking about taps, and at the very end, I was saying that the line, I can't remember the exact lines, but it was saying something about peace. And peace because God is nigh. Right? Peace because God is nigh. And that's going to go with this message, right? Just because God is here with us, right? That should bring you some peace. And if you have peace, you should be more joyful, right? So. And the fact that these people on Memorial Day, they died so that we could have these freedoms, right? The freedoms to gather together. And just seeing each one of you brings me joy. Each one of you growing in the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I've seen some major changes in people. In the time I've been coming here and getting to know you guys. And that brings me great joy. Yes. And it makes me happy to come to church. Just to see change in people. You know? Sorry. I think, that, you know, I was thinking too, like this message is a little selfish for us. Because this message is about our joy. How do we increase our joy? Right? Seems a little selfish, right? But there's going to be a time where I'm going to bring a message on how do we bring joy to the Lord. But the Lord, like Malcolm has said all the time, is we're co-laborers, right? So when we're working with the Lord, the Lord's working with us, right? And He wants us to have joy. And there's scriptures that say this, right? And I'm going to establish a little bit about why I think that. This is not just a Reggie thinking, right? There should never be a Reggie thinking when I'm bringing a message. It should be thinking that comes out of the Bible, right? And so we're going to establish some stuff, and it's going to be off of Scripture, right? We're going to be discussing how we can have more long-lasting joy through God's instruction. through God's instruction. He tells us. This book is not only to learn about Jesus, not only to learn about our God, but it's an instruction manual.
Yes.
And we got to look at it like that, right?
Yeah.
He's telling us how to live a life the best it can be. Right?
Yes.
The best it can be. And then we have a choice to do that or not. Right?
Yeah.
I was working on Haley's car, changing some brakes the other night. And when I was doing that, and I was watching a video on some different things that were important in that, the instruction was to put a torque to certain parts, right? And when you torque something, you want it at a certain poundage, right? Now that's what the car manufacturers say for your vehicle to run at its best ability. It should be torqued a certain amount, right? 21 pounds here, 66 pounds there, right? And that's what can run optimal. Now, you don't have to do that, right? You could probably go off that, and your car could still function. But is it functioning at its optimal amount? Probably not. Could you be heading for trouble? Because you're not. Right?
The wheel fall.
So your wheels could fall off, right? If you didn't tighten your lug nuts enough, right? Your brakes could you know, wear down quicker because you got something too tight. Now your brakes are rubbing more, right?
You're stealing your joy right now and making me nervous.
There's no nervousness. It's a perfect word. I did everything to the spec.
Optimal,
right? So, anyways, so this is our instruction manual, right? And he wants us to run at an optimal amount. We can choose not to, or we can choose to do it, right? So there's a lot there. So the first thing is, even as believers, we can struggle with joy. And it says this right in the Bible, right? Even as believers, we can struggle with joy. If we go to Romans 8:23. Now, I use the New Living Translation, so this is going to look different according to whatever they got pulled up on here. But and I got a lot of scripture, but we're going to kind of go through them quick, so you don't have to turn to each one. Maybe you just want to write them down or something. So, Romans 8:23. And we believers also groan. Doesn't sound too joyful. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. So we know we're going to have future glory, but we're still groaning, right? For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. So we long for it. We're just groaning a little bit, right? We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. So you can see, you can still, even though we know all this stuff is going to happen, there's still some groaning going on. But God wants us to thrive and be joyful. And I know this because of the scriptures. Psalm 118:6. So this is the other thing that I want to establish, right? So even though we're Christian, we're still not joyful sometimes. We struggle with joy sometimes. The next thing is God wants us to thrive, right? He's cheerleading us. 118:6, Psalm. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at all those who hate me. So even when people are dissing you and hating you, maybe you wrote something in a paper that somebody disagrees with, and you're taking some heat for that, nothing can destroy you.
Amen.
Nothing can destroy you. The Lord is for you. He wants you to thrive. Romans 8:32. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up all for us, won't he also give us anything else? If God gave up his own son, isn't he with for us? He gave up his own son for us.
Right.
Think about that.
Us sinners.
Us sinners, right. He took his own son, gave him up for you and me. Well, that tells me that that's probably pretty important, right? If you sacrificed something that you really love for someone else, wouldn't that mean that that person meant something to you? And that's how God is viewing this, right? He sacrificed them because we're that important to Him. He wants us to thrive. He wants us running optimal. He wants us joyful, but he gives us warnings as well that can take us away from attaining intended joy. So God has intended joy for us. Optimal, right? But he gives us warnings of things not to do so that we don't get robbed of running optimal. Let's look at Psalm 16:4. Probably one of the biggest warnings that I think God throws out to us. If you want to get robbed of joy, do what this says not to do. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak their names of their gods. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. How many other gods do we have in our lives?
One.
Hopefully. Hopefully, right? Now gods, you could say idols. How many idols we have in our lives? Things we're placing above God, equal to God. It's taking our time away from God. That's a pretty heavy warning, right? So if we're putting all our, you know, whatever we want, whatever we feel we want, ahead of God, then we're not going to be too joyful. Because those things will let us down. And I think of sports. When, you know, like, I can remember, like, you know, one day some person comes out the bat, he's on your favorite team, hits a home run, he's like the hero of heroes, right? Wins the game, beautiful, everybody's cheering. That guy's great, he's incredible. He's worth the $11 million he's getting, supposedly, right? And then The next game, he comes up and he has a chance to win a game, and he strikes out. And now he's a bum, and he needs to be traded. Why are we paying him this money? Right? That's how we can be, right? That's how we can be. So if you're putting all your cards onto idols, 1 minute you're way up here, and then the next minute you're way down here. And that's why God is warning us. He's saying, don't do that. Stay with the constant, right? I am here. I'm always going to be here. I'm not moving. I'm not changing. This is the constant. Look at me. Focus on me. Right? So that's the warning. That's the warning. He wants us to have joy. But guess what? We have a role to play in that. And in this instruction manual that I just talked about, it talks about our roles. And there's a lot of scripture. There's a lot of reason to be joyful in this book. There's a lot of ways to be joyful in this book. But we have a role. And if we're not doing our role, guess what? You're not going to be as joyful. You're not going to be optimal like what he says you can be. If we go to Psalm, we're going to run through a whole bunch of scripture now of different criteria, okay? Things that he says. Things we can do on our part to help increase our own joy through him. Psalm 16:5. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land, a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Some Bibles say Sheol, right? Is that what your Bible says? Sheol for there? And Sheol, in case you didn't know, means grave. So the translation is grave there. So our role is to show commitment to God, right? So the more we commit to God, the more he commits to us, right? And that brings you more joy, the more committed, knowing that he's committed to you, right? So there's a commitment to God that we have to play. That's our role. We got to be committed to him. That might mean taking some extra time to read devotionals, which is great. But if you're doing it as a chore, is that really a great place to be? Or are you doing it because you want to be committed to God? Because there's a commitment to God. Right? Maybe you're doing journaling. Right? So you're communicating with God. Right? That's a commitment to God. Right? Great way. Some people pray out loud. Some people do it through journaling. Dan, you had something to say? Can somebody bring Dan the mic?
Yeah. Fred, I just think it's so interesting how God works. I had no idea what your message was going to be on this morning. And when I asked God to take it to the scripture he wanted me to read today, it was Deuteronomy chapter 5. And it speaks about God's commandments. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if you read in 6, number 2 and 6, it says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees, commandments that I've given you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. And it's talking about where they're going to be in the promised land. You know, they go right away, it goes right along with your message.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And that might have been, I'm glad you brought that one up, because that might be one that I actually took off my list of ones to say, actually. So keeping the commandments, right? Keeping the commandments is important to God, right? So let's not forget that. Actually, I think it is on there. We'll see when we get there. Not that particular one, but I think another one. So, yeah. Good. So, commandments, really important, right? Keeping the commandments. All right, 1 Peter 1:8. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So, what does that say about joy, right? You gotta have faith in him. You gotta have faith in him. That's your role. Your role is to have faith in God. Right? And then it's gonna bring what?
Joy.
Glorious, inexpressible joy.
Amen.
Not just joy. Glorious, inexpressible joy. Right? So we gotta have faith in him. We gotta trust him. Now, we could say that stuff. We can say that all we want, but if we don't believe it, are we going to have the joy he wants us to have? No. We're not going to be optimal. We're not going to be running optimal. We're going to be sub-optimal. We're going to be below optimal. All right, so John chapter 16, we're going to go to 23, but before that, he was talking about his death and resurrection. So prior to this scripture, he's talking about his death and resurrection, just so you have a reference of knowing where you're going from, right? John 16, 23 says, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use his name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Abundant joy. So asking in Jesus' name is our role. Right?
Yes.
Is our role. That's our part. We got to do something and then we're going to have more joy. That's a pretty cool thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome, right? So you pray in Jesus' name. You ask in Jesus' name. Are we asking enough in Jesus' name? Are we just asking? Are we just asking? Because we have our needs. And we just want. And it's all about us. Fix me. Bless me. Help me. Give me joy.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Right. So we want that stuff.
Yeah.
It's human nature. We want it. But are we asking in Jesus' name? When we pray for Diane, are we saying, Jesus, in your name, I'm praying for Diane's mind and body to be healed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Not in our name.
Right.
In Jesus' name. In His name. And then when we see miracles happen, which we've seen many in this church, we've seen things that shouldn't have happened happen, then we'll have more joy.
Right.
Abundant joy. John 15:11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. What things is he talking about? Right? I mean, that sounds great, doesn't it? I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, joy will overflow. Well, that must mean that we have to pay attention to something. I have an app that gives me a scripture a day. And sometimes that app will just throw up a scripture and I'll be like, what the heck is that talking about? Because it doesn't mean anything. So that might be something that pops up on my app that just says that. And I'm thinking to myself, I've told you these things. Well, what did he tell her? What did he tell me? What did he tell them? Probably important to know, right?
Yeah.
So if we go to the one before that, John 15:10, it says, what things? Right, here it is, Dan. I knew it was there somewhere. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. But I thought I would... Now see, this is me now. I'm thinking to myself here. This is what I wrote. But I thought I was free from rules. Right? Mercy. Grace. Let's not get all caught up in the law. Right? Let's not do that. Which is true, right? Let's not do that. Let's be led by the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, guess what? You're going to follow His commandments.
Right.
So it doesn't matter, right? But either way, right? So we're sitting here and we're going, wait a second. So the commandments are important, right? And so maybe we're not led by the Spirit all the time. So maybe we need to be paying attention to at least the commandments, right? So that during those times when we're distracted, when we're doing other things, maybe we have these things that we know don't do them. Don't do them, right?
Yes.
Don't do them. Now you can go on and be like that, right? You don't have to follow the commandments. You don't have to follow the commandments, right? And you can ask for forgiveness later. And you can repent. And God will forgive you. Don't get me wrong, okay? But will you be running optimal? Will you be running optimal? Will you have as much joy as you could have had
right.
if you were to follow the commandments?
That's right.
You wouldn't. You won't. I can tell you right now, you won't. I've lived it. I probably did it yesterday. And I lost joy because of that. So whose fault is that when I go and blame God? God, why have you forsaken me? Whose fault is that? Why am I so down and I'm drunk? Is it God's fault? No. No, we have a role with God. We have a role with God. Proverbs 15, I'm not even going to go to the specific scripture. Proverbs 15 is all about how to talk to people. How to talk to people. And if you talk to people a certain way, then it's going to give you joy. So if you want to read something about this, go to Proverbs 15, read that later on, okay? And most of it is about being positive when you talk to people. Positive when you talk to people. Talk to people to help them. Don't be negative. Don't be harmful to them when you talk to them. Don't be spiteful. Even when they're spiteful to you, don't be spiteful to them. Okay? And when you're positive and you talk positive, guess what happens to your joy level? It goes up. If you start attacking people, guess what happens to your joy level? It goes down. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. So that whole chapter, Proverbs 15, check it out. It's great stuff. 1 Timothy 6:17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Don't trust in money. And here's my confession. I am not rich. I can tell you that. Carla can tell you that. But I have issues with trusting God with this issue. I have issues with it. It's taken me a long time to get to a point where I can finally say, I get it, God. I get it. And I still get nervous. I still get nervous. Because what if I don't have enough money to pay my bills? What happens? What happens?
You're not alone, Reggie.
Yeah. So there's that's deep burden that kind of is holding my joy down. Right? That's keeping me away from running optimal. My joy is low when I'm in that mode. Right? Would I be more joyful if I could get to the point where I trust them completely, right? But I have a role, don't get me wrong. I just can't go out and spend when I don't have money to spend, right? I have a role because that won't bring me joy either if I just say, God's got everything and I just go out and spend whatever I want. He isn't going to, he may say, well, you know what? You made a stupid mistake, and he may bless me and have somebody give me money, or I might earn some more money or something to cover that. But at the same time, he's going to be teaching me, like, hey, you know, don't do that again. Don't do that again. Or guess what? Sometimes he takes the book and he whacks me on the back of the head and he says, hello, I'm not going to bail you out this time. You're going to square. You're going to square. And you're going to try to figure out how you're going to come up with enough money to pay for something. Right? That's the way he works.
Where's your joy there?
But where's your joy there? Right? When you get whacked in the back of the head with the book, you know it, don't you? There's not very much joy at that moment. So it's important, right? So put your trust. Trust for your finances. That's our role. Trust for finances. That doesn't excuse you. It just means that you trust them. Right? He's going to cover you. Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Yeah. I never seen a cow get let out to pasture. Steve, do they just leaping around? Apparently, I mean, I just said you, but I mean, they're happy, right? They're happy to go out to pasture. The little ones are always happy. Yeah, so little ones are just, cows are just going out. They're happy as can be, right? So wouldn't you like to be happy like a cow? I mean, you want to be able to, that's the type of joy that I want. But anyways, that's right. What's the predecessor to that, right? Fear his name. Fear his name. I'll tell you right now. In this country, there is not enough fear of the Lord. You know why? Because people are afraid to say that. People are afraid to say that. They want to say grace and mercy, and which is all great and fine, right? But there is a Lord that you will be facing at one time. And we, you know, this whole judgment thing that people are all afraid, like you can't judge, you can't judge. Well, judgment is going to come by the Lord. That should raise some fear. That should raise some fear. Are you forgiven? Yes. Does that mean that you're excused for our misdoings? Totally? Without judgment? That's not what the Word says. That's not what the Word says. So fear the Lord. You got to face Him. We're going to face Him. We're going to have to give an account. That scares me. It scares me. And it should.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. It should scare you. That's what keeps you honest. Because we're not good at doing that ourselves. We're not good at doing that ourselves. We struggle with that. I struggle with that. Sometimes when I'm tempted to do something I shouldn't be doing, I gotta say, someday I'm gonna have to tell Jesus that I did that and give an account for it. Why did I choose that particular thing over them? That's scary.
Yes.
Scary. We need to hear that more. It keeps us honest. Keep us on the right track, Jerry, right? Proverbs 12:20. I think it keeps us on the right track more because we just have so much in this and we have so much temptation. It's so easy in this country, isn't it? It's so, so easy. So we need to know that there's some fear, that we should be fearful, you know? Proverbs 12:20. Deceit fills hearts that they're plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace.
Have joy.
You want joy? Plan peace. Plan peace. Don't get even. Don't get even. Don't plan to get even. Don't strike back. Plan peace. You can talk about things, but do it in a peaceful way. Do it in a peaceful way. If you're going to talk to somebody about something that's controversial, they may see one thing, you may see one thing. You can discuss that. But don't let... Sometimes they get revved up. And what's that do to you? You get revved up. I get revved up. And then I want to attack back. Attack back. And it's saying right here, if I attack back, guess what? I'm not going to have much joy. I'm going to lose joy. So I can discuss things, different mindset, in a peaceful manner. Make your point. Don't get revved up. Move forward. Right? Jerry had something. Can you bring the mic to him?
I do.
I always like it when Jerry's going to talk because he doesn't say much. So this is important.
I saw a thing on the news last week, something like that. It was about a person going into somebody's home and stealing a child, one of the twins, from his bed and taking him out. And he got caught. He got caught because he went back in, realized it was a twin. He went back in there, he got caught. But initially, the first child was a 4-year-old. And he killed the child. He did some things to it that wasn't very nice to hear, but some young lady was out jogging, and she thought, she saw a dog laying dead. She got close to it, and it was that little boy. Mm-hmm. And that guy went back in there to do it again. Now, that guy was 17 years old, and I guess he had some ankle bracelets from the law that he had broken from before, so they could, keep an eye on him. And how do you control yourself or something
like
that?
Yeah, good question.
You know, I mean, I think about my grandchild, and I don't know.
Yeah, but think about this, right? So I don't know either. I don't have a good answer for that in particular. But think about this. If you go in attack mode, then how does that affect you, right? How does that affect you, right? So I watch stuff like that on the news, and part of the problem that I've had is the news revs me up. It revs me up, right? And so how do you find peace when you're getting revved up like that, right? So there has to be a point, though. It's robbing me of my joy, right? So there has to be a separation between being robbed of joy and having peace, while still trying to realize, like, this is evil and this is bad, right? This is unacceptable on all accounts. And everything inside me wants to be like John Rambo, right? I want to go back out there and I want to get even. That's what I want. You know, that's revenge, but it's not going to bring joy. It's funny because I wrote to Sylvester Stallone on Twitter one time.
Yeah.
This is funny, true story. So anyways, I was watching, he had come out with this last movie, and I always liked these movies, and I like the good guy, the turmoil and all this stuff, and action and getting even, and anyways, part of the issue with, if you never saw Rambo, is he's a vet, right, who's turmoiled. His whole life he's turmoiled. But Memorial Day, right? He's turmoiled. He's in turmoil. His whole life is in turmoil. And all he knows is revenge, basically, right? So, and he always revenges for good reasons, right? The bad people doing bad things. And he gets them, right? That's, in our minds, that's great, right? But anyways, so I wrote to Sylvester Stallone. They were talking about coming out with another one. And I said, I wrote to him, I said, you can see the turmoil in John Rambo all the time. What? And I know Sylvester Stallone is—he's a Christian. So I said, what if John Rambo, at the end of his life here, he's been through all this tragedy and turmoil, and he's never satisfied. He can never get satisfied, right? What if he surrenders his life to Christ? What if he surrenders his life to Christ, and that's where he finds his peace in the end? Wouldn't that be a beautiful storyline? Right? I never heard back. But still, I just love that idea, like all this nastiness that we face in our life, right? All this nastiness. And how do we overcome that nastiness? Christ.
Yes.
That's how we do it. That's how we, because our flesh, John Rambo's flesh, wants to tear that person up.
Yep.
But it's still not going to give us joy. He never got joy from all the revenge he did. He was always in turmoil. Always in turmoil. Don't watch it. It's a violent movie. If you never watch it. If you don't like violent movies, don't watch it. I'm not promoting it. It's not a Christian movie. Okay?
A few years back, dear friends of ours in Ohio, they have three children, and their daughter, Jana, was killed by a drunk driver. She and her daughter were coming home from school shopping, and a drunk driver hit them, and she died, their daughter. And they had their granddaughter, but they didn't have their daughter. And in the flesh, oh my goodness, they were absolutely devastated. But when the trial came around, Jack went to the trial, and in the courtroom, he spoke publicly to the man. He said, "I forgive you. Mm. You killed my daughter, and I forgive you, but I want to tell you, you need to know my Jesus." Mm. So grace, God's grace, in those times of absolute horrific, that's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking for. And those are the ones that you read and hear about, and you're like, how did they do that? How did they do that? But I guarantee you that person, their joy was robbed by the murder, right? But that person is going to be more joyful after doing that than they would be to tear that person down some more. You might get temporary joy when you tear that person down. Right?
Yeah.
They get like, oh God, boy, I nailed them. That's great, you know? But we're talking about long-lasting joy. Because if you tear that person down, that's going to carry on you for years to come. And one thing that we're going to have to talk about at some point is letting go of the past. But most of the time, people struggle with letting go of the past.
So forgiveness is a key. Mm. Because if you don't forgive someone that's hurt you very badly,
yeah,
it will rob you of your joy.
Yep.
If you can forgive and really mean it, then you can find that joy.
Yep. I'll give you a homework assignment for next week. If somebody can find a scripture that talks about forgiveness and ties it to joy, I'll give you a candy bar.
Fix the brakes.
It's coming. Right? So next week. And you're always going to give a reward, because if you don't give a reward, people don't do it. So, we'll give you a reward.
Can we get multiples on
screen? No, one. What? One. I didn't say what size either. It could be a mini one. Just clarify it. I don't want you to, one M&M. It is what it is.
Depends on how hungry you are.
Depends on how hungry you are. So you can see there's a lot of different scriptures, right? We got a lot of scriptures, and we could do tons more. There's tons more, okay? There's tons more. And you know, we could fill this 3-hour block up doing this stuff. But anyways, there's a lot of scriptures like this. And if you choose to search them out, or come across these types of scriptures, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to the criteria that it's talking about. Right? He always gives us criteria. You ever notice? It's always if.
Right.
Then. When. Right? So you can't just go by that one scripture that sounds all nice and fuzzy. You're going to get abundant joy. Woo-hoo! God, just going to give me abundant joy. But if it says if before, then you better be paying attention to that if, or else you're going to be expecting something that ain't coming. We need to be paying attention. This book was not only given to us to learn about God, but also an instruction manual, right? We kind of established that now, right? It's an instruction manual on how to live the best life we can live. The best life, right? So if God's vision of us is here, 100%, we travel through our whole life, and this is where he wants us. Depending on how we act, we're dropping down below that. And here we are at 75%. Maybe we're at 50%. This is where he wants us. This is where we're at. This is how happy and joyous he wants us. This is how happy and joyous we are. Right? We have a rule. We have a rule. I'm going to close with this scripture out of Romans. It gives me major joy, and I'm very hopeful. During a time that can be very, very dry. During a time that can be very dry. And we all have them. We have our battles. We're all facing them today. I don't think anybody here can say that they're not facing a battle. Some of us, multiple battles. Right? And it hurts. Can we be joyous through the hurts? That becomes the question, right? We're talking about death. Can somebody still be joyful even though their loved one passed away?
Yes.
Yes, they can. Can they be sad during that process? Yes, they can. But they can still be joyful, especially if they know where that person's going. Especially if they know where that person... If they know they're going to heaven, if they've surrendered their life to Christ, and truly are born again, that gives me great joy in a time of sadness.
Amen.
Right? So it can happen. Romans 8:29. I'm going to go through 32 and then we're going to skip to 38 after John. For God knew His people in advance. He knows us in advance. He knows you in advance. He knows when we walk out these doors how we're going to act. How are we going to choose to be joyful? Or are we going to choose to ignore this stuff and go on and not be as joyful as we could be? He knows. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're going. And He chose them to be like His Son. If you're a Christian, He chose you. He chose you to be like His Son. So that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Why do we call each other brothers and sisters? Because we're connected through Christ. Connected through Christ, right? Connected through Christ. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. He's calling us all the time. Come to Me. That wasn't a one-time thing. That was not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. That's a minute thing. Come to Me, He's saying. Come to Me. Having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. Because we were called, we're right with Him. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Guess what? You got glory. You have glory through Him. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? How's that make you feel? What do you say? When you say, well, all right, gave us glory. Whatever. No, He gave us glory. Glory. If God is for us, who can ever be against us?
Amen.
Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up all for us. Won't He give up everything else? You remember that scripture I said earlier? It's pretty important. Should be precious to you. You should hold on to the scripture. You should believe the scripture. He gave His Son for us, each individual. That gives me incredible joy. How can you not feel joyful knowing this? That He took you out of a pit,
right,
and put you on a mountaintop when you didn't even deserve it.
Right.
Didn't deserve it. This whole thing of I'm entitled is baloney. You're only entitled if you surrender yourself to Christ and He grants it to you. There is no other entitlement on this earth. People think there are. There isn't. Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Does that bring you joy?
Yes.
Nothing. No matter how stupid we can be, our actions, nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell.
Amen.
Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Wow. Goosebumps. Joy. Nothing can separate us from Him. When we believe that, we are going to be joyous.
Oh, yes.
You can't help but have joy. Right? So just to recap real quickly. We can mess this up. Let's not do that. God's for us. He wants us at a certain level, running optimal. We have a role in this. We went through a whole bunch of things that our roles could be, and there's tons more. There's tons more. There's opportunity to not feel downtrodden. There's opportunity to not be moping around. Oh, my. There's opportunity. But we got to take this seriously to fend off all the stuff that's all around us. All the stuff that's around us. Are you willing to do that? That takes time. That takes effort. Where's your God? Who's your God? Is He worth putting the time and effort in? And then you get to reap the benefits. That's the best part. Right? So we put our time and effort in, and we look to God, and guess what? We get benefit out of that. It's beautiful. So I'm just going to end with a prayer. Dear God, we just love Your instruction. We just thank You for giving us Your Son. Giving us Your Son to die for me, for all of us. We are not worthy of that. But we graciously accept it. We want Your instruction so that we can live a life that You meant us to live. We fall short. And You know this. You know it even before we do it, when we're going to do it. And yet You still forgive us. We pray for repentance, that we don't keep doing the same things over and over again. And sometimes it takes a long time to get there. But we're going to be persistent, and we know You're going to be persistent, and You're walking with us through those trials. And somehow, even when we don't think it's possible, we're going to break a chain. It's going to fall off, and we're never going to look back. And it's only through You. And we give You all the glory for that. And we thank You. In Your name, amen.
Amen.
Claude.